Welcome to the Your Home Podcast, brought to you by O'Brien Real Estate, where property advice is on the house.
And yes, it is your monthly real estate industry check-in brought to you by O'Brien Real Estate, where property advice is on the house. I'm Jane Yield and joined every month by Stavros Ambazidis, one of three co-directors at O'Brien Real Estate. He owns three O'Brien offices. He is one of the best auctioneers in the state and a little bit obsessed by property development himself and investment. And today we have a very special guest who really, I think, is just considered part of the big Greg family here in Melbourne. Stav, welcome to the show, and so excited to have someone that I've got to say has had a huge influence on my life. I auditioned for MasterChef when this particular man was a judge and would have loved him to taste my food. Didn't get through until round three, I think I got to. So let's introduce our guest, George Columbaris. Before we say hi to George, do you want to just set it up? How's the connection? How did you get George on the Your Home Podcast, Stav?
Well, it's an interesting connection. I know we're both from a Greek heritage and Greek background, and I've got a very close friend of mine who's one of the best landscapers on the Warrington Peninsula, if not the best landscaper, in Oliver Stone from Stone's Landscaping, Oliver Stone Landscaping. And Ollie and I go way back over the years, and he suggested that we get George on board, and that was the connection. That's how George and I became friends, because he was doing adding value to George's property on the peninsula. So, and that's how I got to know George. Actually, Ollie said, I've got a good friend of mine. He's Greek. You should meet him. I said, oh, what's his name? He said, George Columbaris. I said,
never
the
heard of
George
him.
Columbaris. There you go.
Oh, fantastic. Of course, he is a chef, a restaurateur, former judge on MasterChef for over a decade, one of the most well-known chefs in the country. George, thank you so much. As you're sitting in the Hotel Sorrento, really great to have you on the Your Home Podcast. How are you?
Thank you so much for the kind words, and it's lovely to be on. And Stavros, you're a gentleman. Thank you so much for those kind words. And you're right, Oliver Stone is the number one landscaper in the country. He's phenomenal, and the stuff he's done at my house in Arthur's Seat is just, it's art. It's pure art. I love him.
So the move to the peninsula, George, like you've had restaurants in the middle of big cities and, you know, even around the world, Greek islands. And what was that drive for you to head down to the peninsula? Was it just lockdown? Was it COVID? Was it just needing a little sea change?
Yeah, look, it was my you know, there's no need to hide from it, but I sort of went through a tumultuous 2017, 2018, leading into 2019. It was about, a couple of weeks before we entered into COVID. We sort of said, you know what, the restaurants had all closed, and we just made a decision as a family, let's move to Greece. Our family has a place in Athens, so we'd just go and pitch there for a year and give that a crack. Kids were ready to enter into, we had them enrolled into American school over there, and I was going to go and do a residency on the island of Mykonos for 3 months, which would have been fun. And then I'll never forget a mate of mine. We're having a going away dinner, and it's sort of 2 days before we're about to fly. One of my mates just looked at me and went, "Brother, I'm telling you now, you shouldn't be leaving." I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "Mate, this thing's going to get really full on, this COVID thing. They're going to lock everywhere down, and you know." My parents, who live here in Melbourne, and they're not getting any younger. Neither is Natalie's. So if we have to get back, you know, how am I going to do waiting in quarantine for 2 weeks if my dad's in hospital? Like it would be. So I just went home, and I remember saying to Nat, going, "Let's just pull the pin." She's going, "What? We've packed. We're ready to go. Let's just move down to our place in the peninsula at Arthur's Seat." And we did that. We just, pulled the pin on everything and went down there and haven't looked back. I absolutely adore it. It's given me an opportunity down here at the Hotel Sorrento, where I'm the culinary director and sort of here a couple of days a week, you know, being part of a really big project with the family here, the Pitt family. So, and also obviously, you know, now I've opened up the Hellenic House project Bayside in the suburb of Hyatt, and not the Hyatt Hotel, not the Park Hyatt, the area, and I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it.
Well, that turned out to be a great decision because, yeah, you would have been stuck, George. You would have been, I'm sure, living a wonderful life on a Greek island, but, yeah, would not have been very easy indeed. So a little twist of fate there. Now, Stav tells me that basically all Greek families are obsessed by real estate. True or not, Stav?
It's very true. I think when they made the Monopoly board, the Monopoly game, I think that was based on a lot of Greek families because they had to buy all the properties around them and then probably put a house on it, and then they put a hotel on it, and then they charge rent. So,
George, what sort of place did you grow up in? Tell us a little about your parents and your sort of younger days in Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I grew up in the affluent suburb of Mulgrave. I'm a southeastern suburbs boy, and you know, born and bred there, and went to a local primary school there, and went to Mazenod there, and Dad was an engineer, but fell into small business. One being he had a fish and chip shop in Noble Park. Another one, we had a independent supermarket in Noble Park. So, you know, sort of in and around, you know, mum and dad's shops and just doing what we do. You know, Saturdays were, I'll never forget back then, because Saturday the supermarket would shut at 3 o'clock. In those days, and you know, it was mine and my brother's job to go and scrape all the specials off the window and apply the new ones for next week. So lights would go down, you could see a puff of cigarette smoke coming out of Dad's office while he's sitting there, you know, balancing the till for the week, and my brother going, right, go, and I'd go and steal condensed milk tubes, and my brother would be stealing packets of cigarettes. It's like, you know, my brother's 10 years older than me, so obviously food was definitely destined for me at that age. All I cared about was a tube of condensed milk.
Oh my God, I think George has just taken a bit of deja vu there for every Greek son. We've gone back into the 70s and 80s. I actually grew up in the back of a fish and chip shop as well. George and my dad had a charcoal chicken shop in Hampton and Ashburton and Sydney Road. And I tell you what, what you've just said has just brought back so many memories. I've got my hairs on my arms have gone up. So definitely. And they used to love the cigarettes. And back then you could actually smoke in the shop.
We've come a long way.
I remember one day I sort of poked my head into, and it was like that thing. We weren't allowed to be around Dad when he was, counting the till and making sure everything was balanced. But one day I stuck my head in and I went, Dad, why do you put all the notes the same way with the heads up the same way? He goes, son, he goes, you've got to do one thing. He goes, and I don't forget it even to this day, respect the dollars. You know, they're hard earned. You work hard for them, respect them. Even now with my own kids, like I make them earn pocket money, but get them to touch it and feel it, because it's so much different than we tap with our watch, we tap with our phone. There's no sense of Jesus me. You know, I can't remember which billionaire it is in the US who once a year goes and books himself into the bank and sits there and counts his actual money.
Wow.
Bit weird, but, you know.
Probably a Greek billionaire.
Yeah, I get the sentiment. You know, it's you know, I don't think we put enough value around our hard-earned money, and we should. And that's a good way to appreciate it. I always say to young chefs, you know, well, you've gone over budget this week on your food cost. Next week, I'm going to give you that in cash. And when it runs out, it runs out. Mm. And you see very quickly how much they start to really appreciate, you know, their cost of goods.
And so when you were a young apprentice chef, were you living in seedy share houses, or did your parents have the foresight to go, we're going to get you a little apartment? Or I know people whose parents make them save in their first job, so when they move out of home, they can actually be paying off a mortgage and not rent for 20 years like I did. So how did that sort of move happen, or did you stay at home until you were able to get out and buy your own place?
Look, I remember there was. I stayed at home until I moved out, and I bought my first block of land in Berwick. And you know, it was. You know, I mean, look at Berwick now; it's absolutely flying. But
how much?
You know, I remember. Yeah, I think back then the block of land was about $140,000.
Goodness me.
$140,000. It was probably I'd say.
How big? A big block?
I reckon 850 squares.
Well, now we're selling 400 square metres for triple the price.
Wow. But yeah, look, my mum and dad made us, I remember putting money into an investment property they had. So as soon as I started working, that's what happened. So, you know, then I had that little chunk of fortune happening there. And, you know, I remember the first valued lesson that mum and dad gave me was I wanted, remember when Walkmans came out where you could put the cassette in?
Yep.
And I remember it was $22, and it was just when the $2 coin started. So I had this every week if I was doing a job for the family, but generally so I'd get my $2 coin. So I had mapped out on a bit of paper all the $2 coins that I needed and, you know, plonked them on to see that end result, and then got to buy my Walkman. I mean, these are lessons I'll never forget and things that I pass on to my children right now, you know, because – you know, again, I know we want to give them everything. We want to, but you know, that appreciating and valuing, you know, everything that they have is lessons that are so important.
Mm. So that's visualization at its best. A question I get asked a lot, George, you know, time and time again is, you know, I'm thinking of selling my home. Do I do works to the property? Do I do the landscaping? Do I, you know, get it painted? And it's an excellent question. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that? And I know you add value, you love adding value to your properties. What are your suggestions? Any advice there?
Yeah, look, my suggestion is, especially right now, look, you know what it is? I look at it like this. If I can only afford to eat chicken, don't eat chicken, eat lentils and beans. You know what I mean? If I can't afford to have caviar, well, just eat chicken. Or if I think I can. Right now, I think we've got to be very vigilant, very commercial, and have some sort of savviness about everything that we do, but also not freak out and get scared. I'm all for adding value. I think, I think we're very lucky. We live in a country where property is valued. We're not living in a third world country. We're going through a bit of tough time at the moment. Yes, interest rates are going to go up and all that, blah, blah, blah. But we've got to not live out of our means. And, you know, my dad reminds me all the time. He goes, oh, you poor things, you can't go to Greece this year. They were going once every 4 or 5 years. Our holiday every year was at the San Remo Caravan Park over in Phillip Island Way. You know, we weren't jumping on flights. So, you know, I couldn't believe my son goes to camp today to Canberra. And I'm like, oh, leading up to it, I'm like, oh, what's that? An 8-hour bus trip. He goes, no, Dad, we're flying there. I'm like, really? You know, again, you know, we've got to just.
It's a different world.
I just feel we've got to, you know, a little bit of tough time is good. It's okay. It builds resilience and it makes us appreciate and value what we have. As much upskilling, but adding value to your property, I think is always going to be, you know, a coat of paint, some fresh carpet, you know, it just, all those little things, bang, suddenly. And, you know, this day and age, you can find really cost-effective means and ways to do things. You don't need to travel down, you know, Church Street in Richmond to pick out furniture. There's other places as well. You know, you can find tiles elsewhere if you shop and look, you know, dig deep. You don't have to go, I'm not going to name names, but you know what I'm saying. There's ways to do things in a clever way where you're going to add some great value.
Now, my dad used to always say, you learn lessons from adversity, from the tough times. and from failures, you know. And he used to actually say to me, you need to fail and fail fast. Whenever I used to work for him, I'd make a mistake. And so that's okay. You made a mistake small. It's better you learn it small than rather big. So there's some really good lessons there. The other day, I actually appraised a property, and they're really keen to sell at the moment, Jane, and because they're moving to Mount Waverley, and they need to sell their house in Paterson Lakes. And they said, what do we need to do to add value over a weekend? Because we've only got a weekend. So it was interesting what these vendors did, and it made a huge difference. You know, they painted the front fence, you know, so it looked really good from the street appeal. They put mulch in the garden. They ripped out all the weeds, you know, just a little bit of touch-ups, paint here and there, regrouted a few of the bathrooms. They've got three bathrooms in the property. But you can actually add value and change the face and do a facelift over a weekend. And I find a lot of people don't do that when they're looking at selling their greatest asset. And I think that's so, so important. But the landscaping, and we touched on the landscaping earlier with Oliver Stone, you know, that can really make a big difference to a property, because that's what someone sees from the outside. So we call that, the more people you can actually attract to the property, the more people will come into the property. They may not all be interested, but it actually attracts them to the property, and you need to stand out from other properties that are on the market. So what you don't want to help other properties sell. you want people to come to your property. So I think that's so important. So no, thanks for that, George.
You are listening to the Your Home Podcast. I'm Jane Neild, and I'm with Stavros Ambazidis from O'Brien Real Estate. And our guest today is George Columbaris, chef restaurateur, the culinary director at Hotel Sorrento. George, you mentioned that these are slightly uncertain times, but according to, you know, some of the newspapers who still like to clickbait your name and kind of keep us updated on what is happening, rumour has it there is a new venture that is happening on the Mornington Peninsula for you. So how are you sort of taking on a potential new development or an investment project? Or what can you tell us?
To be very clear, I'm not doing anything in Rye, according to the – and that, please, you know, we all – those of you out there, not everything is true in the newspapers, nor on Google. Just because Google said it was doesn't mean it's true. No, look, you know, I've got an incredible partnership here at the Hotel Sorrento, and I've been loving it. It's been 14 months of, you know, incredible work, and I've got a commitment to the family here, and I love it. You know, they're about to double the size of their property here, and we've got, you know, conference centres going in, pool, more rooms, you know, and that's what's lovely to see about the peninsula. You know, it's no longer this sleepy town, Sorrento. It's a bustling city in a way. There's a lot going on, and we all know what's happened with property prices in the peninsula, especially as COVID hit. It went ballistic. So yeah, I'm not opening a restaurant in Rye. My two hats are Hotel Sorrento and obviously the Hellenic House project. And that's enough for me. I've got enough. That's absolutely enough for me at the moment.
Oh, well, thank you to the Daily Mail for making me feel really guilty for
Is that who you were? Yeah, look, they occasionally get it wrong a lot of the time. So, yeah, I'd do yourself a favour and, look at other sources of truth.
Do you feel that scrutiny, though, George, that you are a big name? I mean, you know, 10 years of watching you on MasterChef, I felt like I knew you after a decade of you in my lounge room for 10 years. Do you feel that extra pressure that people will report on you if it doesn't go exactly to plan, or like there are tough times, or are you kind of just happy where you are at the moment?
Look, I'm very content in my own skin, and I love my family, and that's all that matters to me. I only care about them and them only, because that's all I can control. Obviously, the team that I work with, they're my second family who I love dearly, both here at the Sorrento and at the Hellenic House project. And what's lovely is a lot of my old team members from Mate Establishment have come back on the journey, the GC journey again. Well, it's their journey in a way. I feel that, look, the bit that I just go, you know, it's when it becomes lazy journalism, when journalism just is, you know, they're not doing the hard work. And it'd be like you coming to the Hotel Sorrento and the Parmigiana being cold, and the chips being soggy and the beer being hot. You wouldn't be happy. So that's just, you know, that's my frustration, is when journalism just gets lazy because they're trying to, I know what they're trying to do. Clickbait is unfortunately, it's rotten in a way, because that's all they're worrying about, clicks.
There you go. Now, there's a bit of talk at the moment. You're talking about Sorrento and all the areas around there. A bit of a rumour going on that there's going to be a breakaway from the Mornington Peninsula. They want to create their own council down there. Portsea, Sorrento and Blairgowrie, because they bring most of the revenue into the peninsula. So they want to have their own little section down there. They get forgotten, apparently. So have you heard about that, George?
Look, I did read something. What I did hear was, and please, I don't know if it's 100% true, but I heard that they were going to allow food vans throughout Sorrento or Portsea. Those are the bits where I go, you know, it's not smart. You know, there's already, business owners that are struggling, you know, in and around the strips. Adding that type of pressure to them doesn't add value. I've got nothing against food vans. I think there is spots along the peninsula where, you know, great. I know there's an incredible food van in Safety Beach that does great coffee. And it makes sense because, you know, there's not many other coffee places in Safety Beach to go and get coffee. So smart, you know. You know, it's a bit like there's parts of the globe. I know in Paris they do it, but you can't. Let's say there's a strip of shops and there's one chemist, one cafe, one pizza shop, blah, blah, blah. You're not in Paris allowed to open up a second pizza shop in that strip until that lease comes up, right? So, and that's smart. Like, and they've got way more population than we do. So here, if it was a car wash and you want to transform it into a restaurant, it's not, I mean, you just go to council and go through the applications and get it through. So I think there's something, lessons we need to learn from other parts of the world to put a bit more governance around the way we do things, because, you know, there is, it really hurts when I see a little mum and pa shop owner on the street struggling because there's four other cafes there. It just doesn't make sense to me.
And the truth of the matter, Jane, is you can't be all things to all people on the peninsula. The peninsula is one of the biggest shires in Melbourne, and it's huge. And there's different parts. Like you can call it closer to Mornington, then you've got the other side on Western Port, whether it's Flinders and Shoreham, and then you've got all, you know, a different lifestyle down the end of the peninsula. So I think there is some merit there, and there used to be separate councils, and they actually amalgamated it all into one. And it's a huge area to cover. And because the council buildings are in Mornington, Mornington does seem to get looked after a little bit better than some of the other areas. So I think there is merit in it. Now, Jane, you said you tried out for MasterChef. I'm just intrigued. What was your signature dish?
I actually made an edible weed dolmade.
Oh.
So I was doing a lot of local foraging, and George, you'd be onto the mushroom season at the moment. And so I actually, foraged a whole lot of really amazing edible weeds and then found vine leaves and wrapped. Look, apparently the dish was great, but, you know, not quite what they were looking for. Apparently I was very much too aware of the camera. George, for someone who is listening, who is thinking, I love how you're talking about work ethic. I totally relate to you saying you need to live within your means. Have you got any sort of advice for, you know, someone who really just wants to get their little foot on the rung and perhaps dip into property for the first time? Is it just a matter of saving? Because it's a pretty tough market out there.
So I'll give you, I've got this young boy called Bailey working at the Hellenic House project. He's about 22, 23. He works on the floor. He does about 45 hours a week. He then says to us, guys, I don't think you need cleaners. I'll take up the cleaners, cleaning position as well. So at night, three times a week, he does all the cleaning. And then I bailed him. I bailed him up. pardon the pun. And I said, mate, I go, just out of interest, what are you saving for, Bailey? He goes, I'm saving to get my first deposit for my first house. And I just went, How good is this? This is a perfect example. You know, they say, oh, the youth of today, they don't really work hard.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of great stories out there, and this kid is just going for it. You know, him and his girlfriend, they're working hard, and they're saving up for their first property. And also, you know, I was talking to my niece recently. I go, you know, she's at the moment looking at, you know, buying her first place that she doesn't really want to live in, like, because she wants to live close to her mum and dad in Ormond. So she's looking at areas outside of Melbourne. And there's so many great little opportunities, you know, that lie outside of, and, you know, Stavros, you'll be able to answer better than I do, but I'm sure there are up-and-coming areas in outside of Melbourne that have got great opportunities. Mm.
Yeah, about this a couple of weeks ago a couple of episodes ago with Alice Stoltz about bridesmaids suburbs, and I did an auction recently in Tyab. Now, a lot of people want to buy into, say, Frankston South or Somerville. They'll even go down to Hastings. But I'll tell you what, a really good suburb to buy in at the moment is Tyab, because it's affordable. It's still close to everything. It's on the train line. And that's just an example. You know, Carrum was another one of those. People would buy in Chelsea, Bomb Beach. But Carrum is really a good bridesmaid suburb, and it's actually excelled and probably gone, you know, higher than some of those other suburbs. So there are other suburbs. Right. You've just got to have a supplementary suburb to go to as a secondary. No, good point there, George.
Tyab is a ripping suggestion. I use a warehouse there to store all of my furniture at the moment. And I'm looking at it going, hang on, something's happening here, because it is, as you said, accessible. It was perfect for us from, you know, Arthur's Seat to get on the freeway, bang, you're into Tyab. It's smart. And
very smart.
That's a really good suggestion. Yeah.
And George, before we let you go, of course, we are talking to George Columbaris here on the Your Home podcast. I have friends who work in hospitality and people who own places in joint like Byron Bay can't even get staff because there's nowhere to rent. So we're hearing stories of restaurateurs actually having to rent large properties, put staff in them just so they can actually get people to wash the dishes and you know, do the chefing. Is that something you've encountered, and especially somewhere like Sorrento?
Yeah, we've got three houses here that we rent out for for team members. We have to, you know, and to the point where we're also thinking about a shuttle service for them, you know, where we can get them here. Yeah, you just have to. I mean, and look, you know, that these are, you know, again, added costs. And you get it. I mean, how is a dishwasher going to afford to rent in Portsea in Sorrento? It's just not. It's not possible. And these are a little good conversations we're having with the local council at the moment. Is, you know, creating dormitory style, you know, places for even attaching it to a local uni, a bit like they do in the States. When I was a young chef, I think I was at 19 and won a scholarship at Johnson & Wales, which is in Boston. I got to spend 3 months at this culinary university where you live at the university, you know, where we don't really do that here. And I'm pushing for, you know, culinary schools to have dorms attached to them for these kids to be able to do their school and be able to come and work on site and learn even more. So we've got three houses here that we use for staff 100%.
Mm. Case study, we sold a property last month to a company for the purposes, because they actually bring a lot of their workers from overseas. They've got an immigration pathway where they bring them out. And the reason he bought it was so he could actually transform it into exactly what George said. And he holds five of his staff there now. So there you go.
Yeah, it's a really interesting conversation. I feel like there, you know, in the future could be a little run at council here for George, or maybe even you, Stav. Yeah. Like, you've got some great ideas, but it is so interesting, isn't it, how thinking that the property market and real estate influences your ability to put an amazing plate of food on a table. Like, you can be the best chef in the world, but if you don't get that support staff and it's not easy for staff to live.
It's important to have these thought-provoking ideas. This week I had the pleasure of meeting the CEO of Airbnb Australia.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And one thing that I discussed was, because I'm passionate about the peninsula, was Last year, there were 2,000 properties on Airbnb on the peninsula. 12 months later, there are 5,000, which means 3,000 properties have been taken off the rental market or the permanent rental market, which really puts pressure on the local industries, such as what, you know, people working at Hotel Sorrento. You know, where are their staff going to live? So they're looking, they're working with council at the moment, Airbnb, to reverse some of that so they can have some permanent rentals, give back. But George, I've got to say, I'm very excited about your new venture down at Hyatt, so I am going to be booking to come down. One of the things that stands out in my mind was coming to Brunswick, to the Hellenic Republic, and I've eaten Greek food all my life, but you had a signature dish there called the, it was a sakanaki with fig. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It was outstanding.
So you'll be able to come and taste the new and updated version at the Hellenic House project. I'm not going to give away too much, but it's definitely grown up, that's for sure.
Oh, that was really, it was great to the taste buds, let me tell you. So now thank you for joining us today. I look forward to coming to the restaurant and having an ouzo with you.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Great chats, and I wish you all the best. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And, of course, that was George Columbaris, restaurateur, former judge of MasterChef, one of the most well-known chefs in the country, fellow Greek-Australian, with the most incredible work ethic. How amazing is it to hear George talk, Stav? And like, you guys both had that similar upbringing of just watching your parents do the hard work.
It was just a great window into his life and his upbringing and so many lessons there, lessons that we probably don't see in today's times. But we do, look, there are still some great people out there. He spoke about Bailey, you know, one of his young kids there taking initiative, and we still see it. But no, it was, thank you, George, for a really good insight.
And this is the Your Home podcast. Now, Stav, if people are thinking of selling, maybe they're, like you were talking about, thinking, do I need to add value to my property? Can I just list it as it is? What's the market like? What are my options? How can they get in touch?
Look, I know it's cold at the moment, but a lot of times I say to people, would you rather sell, in isolation or in competition? So right now there's not a lot of stock on the market. Yes, properties don't look as well, but I'll tell you something. People don't buy because of how properties look necessarily. They buy because of their situation, okay, not the season. So we've got to always remember that. And if you are looking at selling, there are so many things you can do, but my biggest tip is street appeal. Make it look good from the outside. When you go into publishing or see, you go to a library or you go to a bookstore, it's always the front cover that actually entices you to buy the book. You know, it's the pitch.
Yeah,
it's the pitch, and it draws you in. So street appeal. Make it look good from the outside. People then will come in.
And like you said, you sold a property recently and they only spent a weekend on it, but it can do a lot.
Yeah, letterbox is important, front fence, mulch, just make it look fresh.
If you would like to get in touch with Stav, in the episode description or the show notes for this episode, we'll put a link to the O'Brien Real Estate website where you even just throw out your mobile number, Stav, so people can call you. They can get in touch with one of the many O'Brien offices right around the state. And if you have a question for us here on the Your Home podcast, send it through. We'd love to answer your real estate questions. podcast@sen.com.au. And a reminder to go back and listen to our last couple of episodes. We had Alice Stoltz, who was so inspiring from Domain. And we had your cousin Anastasia from Gogglebox on recently. So go back if you've just discovered the podcast and have a listen to some of those past episodes. Stav, thank you so much. And thank you so much for introducing me to George Columbaris. Like, I really honestly has been amazing to actually chat with him. And I feel kind of inspired that, hard work will get you a long way.
Yeah, so it sure does. Thank you.
And we will catch you again next time on the Your Home podcast. Thanks to O'Brien Real Estate, where property advice is on the house.
Thanks for listening to the Your Home podcast, brought to you by O'Brien Real Estate, where property advice is on the house.